Hey, welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. It's Friday, and that's only good. Also tonight, we're going to be talking with Don Berman and Harvey Wehrman. Harvey is a World War II veteran from the Pacific. He was a Marine. And the news is that the Japanese soldier that stayed in the jungle for all those years, you know?
Well, there was more than one, Phil.
Yeah, there was more than one. One of the Japanese, I guess, I don't know how many of them are alive, but there were Japanese soldiers that stayed alive in the jungle and refused to surrender. I'm sure you've heard the stories, and they're true. Maybe not to the extent that some of the urban legends would have them be, but there were three, I think there were like two or three or four, and they were all eventually coaxed out of the jungle in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
What was it about the 70s?
What are you talking about? What about the 70s?
Well, why the 70s, bud? Why not the 60s?
Because they ran out of food.
Yeah, sure, that's it. They ran out of food. No, they didn't run out of food. I don't know. I believe that what happened was the Japanese government. See, these guys were, their existence was known because they were stealing food, because they would make minimal contact with areas of habitation to steal food or to steal a supply and then take off into the jungle again. And that's the only way they were going to survive. These guys, it's interesting. Some people think that the Japanese soldiers that survived in the jungle for all those years did it strictly on, you know, eating tree bark and insects. No, not entirely. They were in a sort of a hit-and-run battle with civilization, grabbing things, going into the jungle. And certainly their existence was known by the Filipinos and by the Japanese authorities. At one point, and I think probably more than once, the Japanese went down there either with some officials from the army or they had their relatives, I think, and they had loudspeakers and they would blast into the jungle, "Hey, Charlie, come on out, you know."
Who's Charlie?
Not Charlie.
That's what they call the Japanese, Charlie.
No, they didn't call him Charlie. I'm sorry I used the word Charlie. I mean, hey, this guy's name was Hiru.
So they go, "Hey, Hiru, come on out."
Well, they said to him, they would be on the loudspeaker, and they would say, "Come on out. It's okay. You know, the war's been over. You must come out." The emperor, you know, because the Emperor Hirohito, he went on the radio and he said, "We're going to surrender. Otherwise, the Japanese people, it's thought they wouldn't have surrendered." I don't know if that's the case. I've done a fair amount of studying that period, as a lot of you guys know.
If you're going to do a lecture on World War II, can I go get, I need to take care of some toilet items.
Yeah, go ahead, Margaret.
Never mind.
Margaret, you shouldn't be so rude as to...
Never mind, I'll stay here.
I'm not going to do a lecture. What I'm trying to say is they think that the Japanese wouldn't have surrendered unless the emperor said to surrender. I disagree. I not so much disagree that they wouldn't surrender, but I don't agree with the idea that it would have taken... there would have been a bloodbath and a slaughter, and it would have just been a horrific fight up the island as the Americans... Because I think by this point they were starving... They were hungry. The Japanese people were. It was not pleasant, man. What was happening to them? They were badly in every way. They were badly hurting. You know, physically, emotionally. Whether they wanted to fight on for the emperor or not, I don't think they had much left in them. But you know, that's not for me to say. So anyway, they did. They went down there with the loudspeakers.
Better go down the jungle and say what?
They went into the jungle and they'd say, "Hey, come on out." You know,
well, I believe, Phil, I was in the Army. I know a little bit about this.
Go ahead, General.
They would go up to the jungle perimeter, and I'm imagining what they would do is then get someone who spoke a very fluent and elegant Japanese so that you didn't scare the man with the harshness of an American accent, and you would say... Well, then you're stuck, because most Americans really don't know how to communicate. We know the language, but we don't know how to communicate. So you would probably be stuck saying, "Listen, Nip."
Wait. What do you mean, "Listen, Nip"?
Well, I don't know.
What is a Nip?
Now, let's not get into what that is. You would have to say, first of all, it's not our job. The Japanese would be doing it.
Well, that would be the better idea.
Yeah, well, I think that's what was happening. And they said, come on out, it's cool. Now, eventually they all did come out. One of these guys, I believe, and I could be mistaken, one of the guys that came out of the jungle, one of the Japanese soldiers, was not really happy about it. He wasn't happy to hear that Japan had surrendered. He wasn't happy to hear that the emperor had said surrender. And he just was very disappointed. And I don't believe he stayed in Japan very long. I think he went to live somewhere else. I think he moved to Taiwan or something.
Well, what is it with Taiwan?
I don't know. Maybe he just thought Taiwan was more conducive to a sort of the mindset that he had about fidelity and loyalty to God. I don't know. But one of the guys was kind of pissed off. Now, the man who just passed on, he died at the age of 90. He's a Japanese soldier who refused to surrender for 29 years after the end of World War II. He just died in Japan. He was 91 years of age when he died, which was yesterday. But he had remained on duty on Lubang Island near Luzon in the Philippines until 1974 because he did not believe that the war had ended.
Yeah, see, they did. Everybody told him on a loudspeaker.
They told him on the loud. Yeah, they told him. Because, like I said, they knew by the 70s, they knew there's some guys in here. We think they're Japanese soldiers. Well, how do you know? Well, you know, I think there had been some contact with one or two. And by that point, they knew, so they would tell them, you know, the war is over. And they didn't believe it. They thought it was a con. They thought it was some way of tricking them into coming out of the jungle. Still wearing his uniform, Lieutenant Hiro Onoda was eventually persuaded to leave the Philippines by his former commanding officer. Ready for that? He was welcomed back as a hero in Japan, as the reports indicated. And this guy had been, as I mentioned, in that jungle for 29 years.
And what was his name?
His name was Hiro Onoda. So, dying at 91, that would have put him, let's call that 54 years of age when he came out of the jungle in 74. He would have been 24, 25 years old when the war ended. 25. So he spent his life, man. He spent the most productive time of his life, if you will. He spent the most, he spent his youth, he spent his life in the jungle for the emperor.
Well, man, I'll tell you right now, I'd be pissed off at the emperor.
You'd be pissed off at the emperor.
Well, why wouldn't you be pissed? He's sitting in a tree, and the emperor is kicking it, as the kids say, the emperor is kicking it in Tokyo.
What do you mean he's sitting in a tree?
I'm telling you, what do you think he's doing?
Well, he's hiding from the American war criminal.
Oh, the American war criminal.
Phil, take it easy. That's what he thinks.
Well, let me tell you something. He's sitting up in a tree, sucking coconut milk while the emperor's kicking it with geisha girls, every kind of lotion.
All right. Okay, General. Your mind has to go there, huh?
Yeah, the General's right. That's a very good point, General.
Thank you very much, bud.
Yeah, that's it. This poor Japanese guy is sitting in a tree in the Philippines eating coconut, and the emperor's kicking it with geisha girls and every kind of lotion. Is that what I just heard you say?
Yes, you did. Roger that.
All right.
Oh, well, isn't that just a marvelous broadcast moment? Oh, right. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and this is the Today Show.
Where are you so...
Yeah, what are you being a bitch for?
He called me a bitch. Now, you know I can't let that go.
Hey! Ow!
Yeah, call me a bitch again.
Margaret, come on. You know, I mean, you're the one that's giving me crap.
Oh, I gave you a little bit of a hard time. You're going, ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Me and the General have got a real rapport here.
So we'll give you a little bit more information on that. President Obama, by the way, has... Not that this is all that important, because I don't personally give... I could care less about the NSA. Go ahead and spy on me, like you weren't doing it anyway. Keeping a wide net, Obama sets limits on phone spying. We'll be back with that and more news here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com right now with live streaming video of the show. If you want to watch the show, you can listen to the show on TuneIn live and without the premium charge. You can also listen to the show live on our website. Free at 7 to 10 every night Pacific. Listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, with our subscription, you can hear the podcast the following day. The Bobby Dooley podcast finally posted. You ready for that?
Well, what is up with SoundCloud?
I don't know, but Bobby's finally up and raging, baby. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Oh, the Ted Bell shirts are back in. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com on TuneIn, on philhenryshow.com with our video cast as well as our live TuneIn feed of our audio, cast, our podcast. I mean, you got to get with it, man. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on out there. There's all kinds of ways of enjoying and delivering. And by the way, we got a very piece. Listen to me.
You got a piece?
Yeah, you're being all graphic and everything.
Will you shut up with that laugh before I kill you? Okay?
Yeah, no kidding, man. What?
Bud, you know how fond I am of you. You know that.
Yes, sir.
You laugh like a gibbering fool. You laugh as if you've gone monkey, as if you're climbing a tree and you'll never come back. So stop already with that hee-hee-hee.
Sorry.
Yeah, so maybe, General, you can kick his ass and whip some shape into him, you know?
I'll kick his ass. I'll get him going in the right direction. Don't you worry about it.
Well, sir,
never mind. Just hold your tongue.
All right, look. So where are we? Oh, yeah, we got Don Berman on the line and also Harvey Wireman, who's a veteran of the Marine Corps in the Second World War. Harvey was at Saipan and a couple of other places. We're going to talk with him. We actually have Harvey first, I think, here online from his car, coming back from San Marino this evening. Harvey, how are you?
Hello, Phil.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, sonny. Who's the guy you said the guy that was the Japanese guy that died was this guy Onoda? Now, you have to understand, he's a good deal older than me. I was only 19 years old, you know, and everything like that.
Did you see the picture of this guy in the paper?
Well, I saw the picture of him as an old man, you know, when he surrendered in 1974. Look at the picture of him here. He's got the, you know, the samurai sword. And a lot of guys paid top dollar to get those. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Harvey, this is General Shaw. Now, did you, were you purchasing these from Japanese or from each other?
You know, you'd get it. The occupational guys, which were the army guys, they went into Japan and they occupied Japan. They got these flags and they got the swords and you know that. Now, if you got a lot of the Marines and the Army and in the actual theater of operations got the flags and the swords too. You'd take them off it. You know, I hate to say it, but you'd pull it off of a dead, you know, a dead guy, and then you'd put it into your, you know, belongings.
Did they ever want you guys? Did the Marines, the Army, ever ask you guys to not take that stuff back to the States?
No, they didn't. It was, the times were different back then. As long as you could pack it and it wasn't going to cause anybody a problem, and it wasn't going to, you know, it wasn't going to stick some guy in the ribs while you're heading home. You know. But you brought up a point that has fascinated me. And that was the fact that this guy was sitting, just like you said, General, up in the he was sitting up in the jungle while the Emperor of Japan had surrendered and had just gone on with his life as if someone just cut a particularly nasty but nonetheless non-fatal fart.
Well, Harvey, what does that mean? We're talking about warfare here.
I understand, Ms. Gray, that we're talking about war. Don't I know it? But the Emperor of Japan... this guy was in the jungle eating bugs. Do you understand? And the emperor is still having some of that good Kobe beef, and he's got that the Tojo beef. You know what I mean, Phil?
What do you mean Tojo beef?
You're talking about the Kobe beef?
I mentioned Kobe. Isn't there a Tojo beef?
Tojo was the prime minister.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. The prime. Well, but the Emperor of Japan is sitting in the palace, and he's kicking it with he's got sushi, I don't know, whatever they have, and I'm sure he's got the sashimi salad and that soup they eat. And meanwhile, this guy is sitting down in the jungle, and he's eating bugs, and he's drinking rainwater from a large banana leaf and frog. He's eating bug and frog for dinner and drinking banana leaf water. Are you ready for that? If I came back from the war after being discovered in a jungle, I would make a direct beeline. line for the emperor and say to him, did you ever see how I can operate this sword so that the head comes off and you'll continue to have dinner, your royal highness? Watch this. Just like in that movie, Phil.
Okay, Harvey, I think we get the point.
No, what was the movie, Margaret?
Are you talking about Kill Bill?
Kill Bill, yeah. God, I love that. God, how I loved it so. Did you see the Kill Bill?
Yeah, I saw that. I said there's all kinds of crazy, wild martial arts and a lot, and I mean a lot of heads getting cut off, legs getting cut off.
Yeah, but the arm on that one chick got cut off, too. That's bitching.
Yeah, I saw that. Kill Bill 2?
Yeah. And another time...
Never mind about the movie Kill Bill, okay?
But you'd say that's what I would...
Hold on for a minute and slow down, will you? Would you get him under control so we can get on the line Don Berman from Channel 19 News, who has the actual report on this thing from the jungles... well, not from the jungles, because the jungle story has already been... reported. We're talking about from Japan, where this man was living after being discovered. Don, how are you?
Well, this is Don Berman, Channel 19, and we did report earlier today on the passing of Hiro Onoda, who was the lieutenant in the Imperial Japanese Army, who refused to surrender after the end of World War II, even as the surrender documents were being signed on the Missouri there in Tokyo Bay. Lieutenant Onoda decided, along with others of his ilk, the Imperial Japanese Army soldiers, who would not accept defeat unless the Emperor himself personally delivered to them a message saying, you can now surrender. They would not quit fighting, and so he stayed in the jungle all the way to 1974, at which time he was discovered and given a hat and a coat, or so. I don't know what they did, but I guess that's all I've written.
Oh, okay, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for you to do a whole real heavy report, Don. You're right. That's pretty much the gist of it. And he passed on today.
He passed on today in Japan at the age of 91. I think the man, he became a national hero in Japan for his steadfast commitment and loyalty to the emperor. Harvey Wyman mentioning the fact that while he is sitting in a jungle up in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. I was just throwing that in as a little joke, if you're saying sitting in the tree. You know the nursery rhyme?
We heard you, Don. It's not very appropriate.
Yeah, would you continue with the report, please?
Yeah, where is the guy that said he was sitting in the tree?
Yeah, this is Harvey Wyman, Don. I said he was sitting in a tree. I didn't say K-I-S-S-I-N-G, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Thank you for setting me straight. Okay. Yeah, gee. Thanks for putting me in my place. Okay.
It's not that heavy, Don.
No, you're not the one that is being embarrassed on national radio, Phil. You're not the one. The last I checked, I thought it was me. I'm looking in the mirror at me, and my face is beet red. I don't know what your face looks like, but I don't think it is. My face is beet red, and I feel a burning in the...
A burning in the what?
In the crack of my ass. So, Phil, what I would...
All right, thanks very much, Don Berman. So, Harvey, any last thoughts?
What does that mean, any last? Where's this guy Berman?
They had to hang up on Berman because he made a very unnecessarily foul comment having to do with having been assaulted.
You know, that seems to be a regular theme on your program, Henry. That's why I don't like coming on your show, because you guys talk about it so much. It sounds to me like you guys are just itching to do it to somebody, you know?
Yeah, and why are you laughing at that?
Well, the thought of it is so absurd.
What are you talking about? You make us out to be a perv.
Hold on for a minute. I think he's making a very good point. You guys talk about the assault in a jail cell and other places so often. I think he's right. I think you guys are itching to do it.
Itching to do it. I didn't say it. Berman did.
Yeah, Berman did.
Well, you laughed.
No, he laughed. Berman laughed.
Actually, I laughed. Berman laughed, and I laughed, but you couldn't hear me laughing. I didn't hear you guys laugh to the extent that I don't think you laughed. I'm Harvey Wyman.
Why are they doing that?
Margaret, I'll tell you what, don't get all nuts about the fact that they're locking out with their names. Help me out with why it is they're hanging up, or why it is I have to hang up on them. Help me out with the fact that I've got people, and only on this show, who call and have about half of their mind working at any given time. All right, so congratulations to all concerned there. Lieutenant Anuta, you are now, or Anoda, excuse me, you are now riding the dragon with the Emperor. Godspeed, sir. Good job. No, I'm being very serious now. I'm not trying to be offensive, okay?
Well, as long as you're not... he is a fellow warrior, and he's riding the dragon.
Yeah.
Why do you say, yeah? I mean...
riding the dragon means only the Emperor can ride the dragon. Only the Emperor. That's the symbol of the Emperor, isn't it? You don't just say any cat rides the dragon, you know.
Well, this man was in the jungle eating bug and frog. Oh, God.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
What is this, for God's sake? This sounds like something Jason J. Delmonico was listening to. What are you doing?
It's our bumper music. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show is what it is. Welcome back here on this Friday night. Every night, Monday through Friday, till 10 o'clock in the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. out on the eastern perimeters. Don Berman on the line with us. I think we got Harvey. I got both of these guys back on. Don't start flipping out on me and giving me a whole lot of hooey, okay?
I wasn't flipping out, okay? I was trying to give you the best report that I could, Phil. All right?
Where's Harvey?
I mean, I'm just waiting for you two jackasses to fit. You know.
I'll tell you something, Mr. Wireman. With all respect, I know you're a war veteran, but I'm the reporter here. I'm the one with the facts.
I'm not saying you don't have the facts. Henry brought me on because I was in the Pacific when this guy was hiding out in the jungle. But I'm telling you, and I agreed with what Phil said.
Well, I agree too, but I'm not going to say it because I have to be objective. But I totally agree that man should have come out of the jungle, gone directly to the Emperor and urinated on him. But I can't say that.
You just did say it.
You just did say it, Don.
I know I did say it. I know. I'm saying, though, for the record, I'm objective. All right?
What does that mean for the record? I don't speak the language you people speak. You people in the media, it's some kind of Martian that you speak. What is that supposed to mean, for the record, you're objective?
What it means is, as a reporter, I believe he's a hero to the Japanese people, and as a reporter, I'm just reporting. But as an individual, I think he should have gotten out of that jungle, booked the first ship that he could to Tokyo.
What do you mean, booked the first ship? The guy's a hero. They took him back on a government ship.
They took him back to Japan on an official conveyance, I'm sure. What do you mean he had to book passage on a ship?
The guy's out of the jungle. I don't know.
The guy was a hero, man. They're not going to ask him to go. And as soon as you buy a ticket, come on back to... That's fantastic.
You got to be the dumbest guy that I ever heard in my life.
You know something? I'll take that from Henry, but I won't take it from that court jester you got sitting there. Do you understand me?
I understand. Just take it easy for just a second here, bud. General?
If you guys could go ahead and put your brains back into your skulls and quit playing with them, I have a couple of questions.
You know something? I'm getting sick and tired of being offended? Yes, I'm sick and tired of being offended.
I'm not trying to offend you, Mr. Wireman, but I'm simply asking, as a veteran of the Marine Corps, you said you would find these samurai swords. Now, this man held on to his samurai sword. Now, what was the mindset of the Japanese Imperial Army soldier that would cause him to maintain, to stay on duty, and to stay at his post throughout a 29-year period, even when there's someone with a loudspeaker telling him, come out of the jungle, the Emperor wants you to do it.
Because they thought that it was a load. They thought they were being tricked into coming out of the jungle, and then they would be turned into propaganda for the Americans. See, the Japanese, they got a whole other... There, you understand something. When we were over there, we only thought about one thing, killing all kinds of Japanese and then coming back to a steak and a beer. That's all we wanted. But they, war to them, was almost religion. So they would, you know, they'd get up in the morning and they, I don't know if that, but this is what I heard. They would get up in the morning and go, hey, you know, to the gods of the China, Chinese or the Japanese god. It's a Buddha. That's what it is. And then they'd go out and, you know, do a bonsai attack, and then they'd get slaughtered. Then they'd go back, and then they'd say, okay, that didn't work. What other religion? I mean, that's...
What, are you making a joke out of this?
Who said that?
I did, Harvey. It's Phil.
What do you mean, making a joke? That's exactly what they did do. What do you mean, I'm not making a joke?
Well, I think that in Harvey's defense, for all intents and purposes, what they did.
So they got up in the morning and they said some prayers and they went out on a bonsai attack and they got slaughtered and went back and said, oh, I guess that religion didn't work. What next?
I'm kidding about that part. You know, I mean, they were Buddhists. They were Shinto Buddhists. And they would say, hey, yeah, you know, whatever they did.
What's the hey, yeah? That's what I...
That's the religion, Phil, the prayers.
Yeah, don't you understand?
Yeah, sure, I understand.
Don't get all bent out of shape. I'm just trying to approximate what the guy gets out of bed in the morning. He puts on his samurai sword. He puts on that little baseball hat they wore. He goes, ooh, yay, hey, the Buddha, whatever the hell, picks up his gun, runs through the jungle toward an American machine gun nest, gets cut in half, and then crawls back, half of him anyway, and says, yes, General, that failed. You got any other bright ideas? You see what I mean?
So, okay, so that you are making a joke.
I'm not making a joke. I'm telling you that that's essentially how it was.
Crawls back, half of him anyway.
Well, you know, I mean, you got a generation of young people out there that think that the dead reanimate and come crawling back for seconds. I'm just telling you that that was the commitment.
All right, so, Harvey, Don, there was one other soldier that was there with him, and he came out in 1970. Am I right about that?
Yes, well, that is correct. Along with Lieutenant Onoda was Sergeant Yokoi. His name was Soichi Yokoi. He emerged from the jungle in 1972, actually, and that caused a sensation. Of course, when both of these men returned home, they became huge heroes in Japan. So this is a story, as you said, Phil, that involves more than one. There were quite a few others, and there is a very interesting photograph of him coming out of the jungle in 1974, being led out by Filipino military. He did not surrender until his commanding officer, who I can well imagine must have been one of the laziest. If you think about this, here's a guy that was sitting in Japan, another guy, and I don't mean to criticize, but if you want some editorial opinion, you know.
Hold on for a minute. You're going to bag on the entire Japanese army?
I'm telling you, the emperor and the commanding officer of this very brave man were sitting on their dead asses in Japan. You know, I'm a reporter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to jump in right now. You are a reporter, and you're supposed to be objective. Whether they're sitting on their, quote, dead asses in Japan is of no interest to you.
Well, I'm listening to Wireman gets to have an opinion. Why don't I?
Well, don't start bawling like a little girl. Wireman's going to have the opinion. You're the reporter.
But I'm far more informed. I'm not saying I'm more informed than you, Harvey, but...
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying that you got more information than me, and no, you don't. So why don't you just sit there and read your little news copy? I'll tell you how it was. It just so happens, I agree with you. The commanding officer, that man, who would have been the immediate, the captain of the platoon, or the company, I should say, he should have gotten on the next boat out of Tokyo heading south, and I don't know how often they run them.
What is it with you guys about buying tickets for boats?
What?
You got this guy coming out of the jungle, better get a ticket to go up to Tokyo. This guy's got to get a ticket. How often do they run them?
I don't know if they're running them. Well, however, the guy's got to come out of Tokyo. He's got to put down the beer, put down the pizza, put down the new, American rock and roll record that he bought. He's got a man down there in the jungle who's living off of bug and frog. You got the emperor with all kinds of new state-of-the-art, what can I say, prostitutes, you know?
Yeah, okay, we all know about the emperor's degenerate ways of living.
Well, I'm trying to make a point. You got a brave soldier in the jungle. Meanwhile, you've got state-of-the-art, I mean USDA-inspected state-of-the-art prostitutes. And you got another guy that's listening to his brand new rock and roll records, and he's putting on his brand new Ray-Bans, and he's looking at himself and saying, hey, I almost look like an American. Meanwhile, his man's down in the jungle eating bug, frog, I don't know what else. You know, he's living three squares a day, that's fine, but can you imagine living three meals a day on frog? Come on, man, mix it up a little. All right, well,
Harvey, very good report. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. Phil's the guy that gets rid of me.
What happened to Don?
I hung up on both of them.
All right, well, that was very funny. So three squares a day, you're going to get pretty tired of frog. All right, man. So, one of the things about this story that I think is important to mention is, as we mentioned before, you go from... An event goes from memory to history when all of the living participants die. And World War II is rapidly passing from memory to history. World War I has already done that. And the period following World War I, the 20s and the 30s and all of those very dramatic moments in the history of the world, not just this country. And there is one more link to that era gone. This man, Mr. Anoda, I think his name is, who was the guy that came out of the jungle, man. Anyway, he's got a book. Nikki looked it up.
Tell me, it's called My Life, My 29 Years in the Jungle. Well,
29 Years in the Jungle on Bug? No, it ain't 29 Years in the Jungle on Bug. Nikki, what's the name of the book that you found?
It is No Surrender, My
30-Year
War.
No Surrender, My 30-Year War. Nothing about 29 years in the jungle on Bug and Frog, huh? All right. What?
Well, I don't...
All right, we'll be right back with more news here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Stay with us, won't you?
What if they said no?
Well, then they can go. I don't care.
You don't care?
I mean, I do care, but...
All of that was on the air. I hope you know that all of that was on the air.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So thank you, Don Berman, and thank you, Harvey Weirman, for your opinions on this man who died in Tokyo, in Japan, over the last 24 hours, the Lieutenant Hiro Onoda, who was a Japanese Imperial Army soldier who was told to stay behind. So it gets more interesting, General.
Well, you understand, because you're putting me in a very...
You got to answer the questions that are going on around here.
I'll do it. General, you were one of the, you're one of those that gives the orders. Now, how do you tell a man to stay behind and spy, which is what, am I understanding, Lieutenant Onoda's last orders were?
Well, yes. What happened, Phil, was Lieutenant Onoda was on the Philippines as the United States military, as the Army invaded and retook the Philippines from the Japanese in early 1945, I think it was, or 44. And he was told, as the Japanese were evacuating, by his commanding officer, stay behind and spy on the Americans.
And he was an intelligence officer, right?
He was an intelligence officer.
Yeah, what could be not too intelligent staying behind just to make a joke about it and everything?
Yeah, we don't need a joke right now, dumbass. So...
Hey, watch. Now, come on, Margaret.
Oh, this is very serious. I don't need him... amping up and sharpening and polishing up his clown act. Not with this topic.
All right, okay. But it is kind of funny. He's an intelligence officer, and he winds up spending the, 29 years in the jungle.
Well, I wouldn't be so harsh on the man, because he's doing his job. And again, this was the loyalty of the Japanese soldier.
Yeah, but see, that guy, to me, he took it in the giggy with a Wawa brush.
He did what?
Well, what Bud's saying is he got screwed. He got screwed by the emperor, who's kicking it in Tokyo, like you said, with all kinds of state-of-the-art prostitutes. He got screwed by his commanding officer, who's kicking it in Japan with great beer and brand-new rock and roll records.
Well, you clowns can sit... You can play Laughing Boy all day, Phil, if you want.
It's just... I mean, the way, the way you guys paint this picture...
I think it's very sad.
It is sad, but I mean, it is sad. The guy's in the jungle, and his commanding officer's kicking it in Tokyo with brand new rock and roll records.
Well, what's so funny about that, GJC?
It's funny. To me, it is. So...
So anyway, yeah, well, exactly. And then, whoever the man... And that's the guy?
The commanding officer who gave the order to stay behind and spy on the Americans, he eventually was the commanding officer who returned and personally ordered him to surrender. And I imagine it was by way of some sort of a loudspeaker or a communications device like that. But that's what they were doing with all of these guys. And this guy's partner, if you will, the other soldier that was with him, who was a sergeant, a man by the name of, Sergeant Yokoi. That guy had left the jungle in 1972, so the lieutenant stayed a couple of more years, and there you have it. But it's a phenomenon that maybe some of you younger listeners were not aware of. It was one of the last incredible stories from an incredibly revolutionary, earth-shaking, time-changing, world-changing thing called World War II. And you know, the thing about World War II is I've heard it said that World War I and World War II were basically the same war with a 20-year truce. And if you look at the history of those wars, it's hard not to agree with that. It's pretty much the same war with the same battle lines and a 20-year armistice or truce that didn't hold, and eventually things were way worse. And a lot of people say it's because of the way that things wrapped up in World War I, that World War II. But for these guys, you know, and you can see how it reverberates down through the years. Not just the horrible crimes committed against civilians like the Holocaust, but soldiers staying in jungles.
What about a German? Did a German stay in a jungle?
What jungle is a German going to stay in?
Well...
What jungles? What do you mean the Germans stay in a jungle?
Well, that would be a place where the Germans... Maybe they hid out in a chalet.
Are you trying to be funny?
No. If you think about it, Mr. Henry, the Germans, they're going to hide out too.
There was, I'll tell you one thing about the Germans. They did have an underground, or they tried to organize an underground of civilian guerrillas. The Nazis attempted to organize an underground of civilian guerrillas that got some publicity briefly after the war, but it didn't take, and the reason why it didn't take is the Germans were sick, and they were sick and tired of the war, they were sick and tired of Hitler, they were sick and tired of Nazis, they wanted nothing more to do with any of it. So it wasn't going to happen. The Nazi leadership continually misreading the mood of the German people, yeah, they were happy as long as they had food and everything was great. They didn't give a damn what happened to Jews. They had it great, you know. But as soon as they started getting bombs raining down on their heads and their houses were getting blown to bits, then all of a sudden things were changing and they didn't want anything more to do with these scumbags that were running the country. So at the end of the war, there were, I think there was some propaganda that was discovered exhorting the German civilians to take up arms and to go into the woods and to construct explosives and to basically conduct a guerrilla war behind the scenes. Guerrilla wars are only going to be effective if the civilian populace is so motivated. You know.
Well, what about the French Resistance? Was that the same thing as the Germans?
What kind of a... Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever...
I don't know about it, General.
The French Resistance was not the same...
No, wait a minute. The French Resistance was resisting the Germans.
I know that. What I'm saying is about the German one, where they wanted to blow stuff up.
Yeah, it was. Except the French Resistance was more successful because everybody wanted to join the French Resistance. It was a popular uprising against the Nazis. And the Dutch Resistance was another underground in World War II that was very effective. But the Germans couldn't get anything like that going because nobody gave a damn. No, they just wanted that scum dead and buried. Bud Dickman.
Hey.
Cut. All right, so that's that, man. Now, other news. Apparently, all of that terrible Nazi stuff, you know, has revisited us here in America. That's right. Just ask the average American how things are these days, and he'll tell you, oh, it's bad. It's almost 1984.
You know something, Phil? You laugh about it, but...
Yeah, the NSA, they're spying on everybody.
Well, why do you think that's funny, Phil?
Because I just do. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not funny, and if this guy Obama...
Now, wait a minute. It's not just Obama. It's also the Tea Party. They're doing it, too.
Are you out of your mind or something? The Tea Party is not in power. They're on the fringe. They're the fringe element. A fringe idiot element.
Oh, so you are saying they're idiots.
I'm saying that right now they're idiots. Once they're elected, it'll be fine.
Then they won't be idiots.
Right.
Oh, would you guys just sit down and take your medicine, okay?
Well, what does that mean?
It means exactly what I said. President Obama, acknowledging that high-tech surveillance poses a threat to civil liberties, announced significant changes Friday to the way the government collects and uses telephone records. It doesn't matter, Mr. President. Nobody's going to give a damn. They're all going to think that you're a fascist. It doesn't matter. You can't say anything, you know.
Well, that I agree with, but I'm not blaming President Obama. This was a Bush operation from beginning to end, collecting all the data so that they would have the final chart and check the names off as yes. Now, don't give me that look. As people were being admitted to the concentration camps. Now...
All right. I'm, you know, Margaret...
No, okay. You know, the truth hurts, doesn't it, Phil?
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry. The NSA is collecting all of your names out there so you'll be admitted to the concentration camps in an orderly fashion. I forgot. I forgot what the party line is this week.
You go ahead and laugh, Mr. Hendry.
You, as a retired Army general, shouldn't be talking that smack.
Yeah, you're supposed to be loyal and everything.
I am loyal. I like to pick and choose these moments. Moments that may be opportune for a military takeover.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch us on Phil TV in HD. And, of course, you can listen to us live and free on TuneIn right now. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Larry Grover will join us here and talk about the NSA. Larry Grover, who is or was a chairman of the conservatives of Kern County. It's been so long since we've talked to Larry, and it'll be interesting to hear what his point of view is and what how things are going with him there. I just wanted to, because you found this general, right?
Yeah, there's a Japanese soldier on Guam. By the name of Yokoi. Now, this was the man that you thought was with the other man by the name of Anoda, right?
Are you guys going to talk about this all night?
Not all night. You know what? Your job, Margaret, is to support this, not critique it.
I beg your pardon. My job is to be a media critic.
Yeah.
Hold on for a minute, bud, before I... You know the Three Stooges thing with the fingers in the eye? Do you know that that's an actual martial arts move? And when I pull my fingers out, there are two eyeballs on the...
Two eyeballs on the end of your fingers?
Forget it.
All right.
I'm going to read my copy here. I know that I want to be ready for Larry Grover because he is so full of crap. His eyes have got to be brown, and I've never met him.
They actually are brown.
See?
That's very good, Margaret. Great.
See?
Great.
Yes, Margaret, great.
All right, so, General...
See?
We see! General, so this guy, the other guy was Yokoi?
Yes, the other man was Soichi Yokoi, and a very interesting story. He was on Guam. He was left behind by the retreating Japanese, and there were quite a few Japanese soldiers that went underground on Guam. In fact, there were dozens of them after the Americans had retaken the island. Now, they lived off of cattle that was raised by the local farmers. They would steal and slaughter these cattle. And then when they were afraid of detection even more, they went further into the jungle and lived on river eel and rat. So I wasn't too far off.
River eel and rat. Oh, God.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting.
Well, it is, but we weren't too far off about living on bug and toad.
A lot of those animals are poisonous, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They are. But the Japanese, as you know, have a great tradition of making do with some real... I don't know how they eat squid. Who knows why the Japanese even stay on that island when all there is to eat is bug and squid?
Well, they have that Kobe beef, and that stuff ain't cheap.
They have... what is it?
The Japanese raise beef, but because they have limited rangeland. They have limited land to graze cattle on. The cattle that the Japanese raise is going to be of a premium, and it's going to be very, very expensive. And that's what Kobe beef is. This is the Japanese beef that is, as people say, is particularly good. I don't think I've ever had it.
Well, I don't think it's any better than a good American sirloin or porterhouse steak, but you're led to believe that it's good because they jack the price on it when they see you coming through the door with their little, I don't want to be prejudiced.
Okay, then we'll just not go there, okay?
No, we won't go there, but when they're squinting at you...
You know something? I'm going to have to just fire everybody.
What do you want to fire me for?
Get a whole new staff.
Are you talking about me, too?
Yeah, I've heard you whip out the, you know, you're black and all that stuff, Margaret.
That was a very emotional... How dare you bring that up?
I'm not going to hear you guys with the whole, well, you know, the Japanese, they really see us coming, looking at us through those squinty eyes. Come on, will you?
I'm speaking as a veteran of the United States military. I'm not saying anything. I'm not racist. I'm just saying, if you're trying to tell me Kobe beef tastes like I'm eating... Like I'm licking Lana Turner's thighs, friend, I'm not buying it.
Lana Turner, what's that?
You don't know... You know what? I feel sorry for you, you moron.
All right, so Larry Grover is standing by. Thank you very, very much, Larry, for hanging with us here as we going to talk with Larry, who's actually at Ted's of Beverly Hills this evening. Maybe we'll get Ted in here. Are you having dinner?
I'm having just a little bit of a late-night dinner. We were here having a conservative Picard County meeting, and Ted was more than accommodating. It's a terrific restaurant. I highly recommend I guess I ought to ask Ted. I don't know where Ted is tonight, but ask him if you've got any of the Kobe beef on the menu. It would be very interesting to find out if there's the Kobe beef on the menu.
Take my advice. Don't ask him, because he'll probably find a way to get offended by that.
Oh, yeah. When you guys were talking about Kobe beef, it sounded very interesting. And, of course, the first thing that came to my mind was Kobe Bryant, so I didn't know what you were talking about. It sounded ghoulish until I realized you're talking about the Japanese meat that they made after they lost World War II. That's what I'm trying to put together here, and it doesn't make any sense.
No. It's got nothing to do with World War II.
It has nothing to do. I heard you talking about World War II.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with World War II. It's simply a kind of beef raised on the limited grazing land, the limited ranch land, the limited the grasslands that they have in Japan where you graze beef, you know.
What do a Japanese cowboy look like? Has there been any photographs or anything?
You mean, has there been any photographs?
Is there any documented record of it?
Is there any documentation of a Japanese cowboy? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Do they have any photographic evidence?
Look, I don't know about anybody else.
What kind of a question is that?
Well, hold on, Phil. You know, if they've got cows and they've got beef, then they must have guys that drive the beef to market on the beef drive. They've got to have some kind of a cowboy. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how high in a saddle it... You know,
we don't have to say it.
No, I mean he or she, maybe they're female. You know, the Japanese are a very industrious and inventive people. Maybe these are all female. I'll bet you they do things completely different. So if you were to look at the Japanese cowhand.
Well, so can I ask a question, Phil?
Yes.
I want to get a vanilla wafer and I want to get a bowl of cottage cheese, but I want to make sure I'm not... Is this guy going to talk about what Japanese cowboys look like? Is that...
Excuse me, General.
I'll handle it, Larry. Yes. And I'm expecting everybody to stay in studio until we break. And then you can go get your cottage cheese or your vanilla wafers, or in Margaret's case, whatever you need to do, Margaret.
I didn't say anything about having to change a tampon. Is that what you were saying?
No, I didn't. I was trying to not say it, and there you just went and said it.
Yeah, you went and said it. I'm sorry.
I'm learning to use the left. I'm going to use the left jab, bud. You think I'm going to lead with the right. I'll use the left. Like, look at that right there on the wall.
I'm not going to fall for that.
Right hand.
Oh, whoa.
So what happened? Did she clock him?
I don't want... Hold on. I don't want to see that again.
You don't want to see that right hand again.
So, yeah, the Japanese cowhand, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just curious what the cowhand would look like. And I know that, Bud, that's probably what you were curious about.
Yeah, well, they're the Japanese.
Yeah, but I'm sure they've got cowboy hats, and I don't know.
Okay, that's great.
Well, don't, Phil, I'm not, you know, I come on your program to try to lend some intelligence and information, not to be looked at. You know, another freak for the fire, so to speak.
All right, I appreciate that, but I don't think we need to speculate any further on what Japanese cowboys look like. You know, wherever there are cattle and wherever men or women are needed to control the cattle, do whatever you got to do, corral them and to move them from one place to the next, I guess there's going to be cowboys. And whatever that country's version of a cowboy is, that's what they're going to have.
Well, for instance, let's talk about German cow. The German cowboy wore a pointed hat like the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz? Wizard of Ass?
It's not Wizard of Ass. You know that.
No, I know that. But I didn't know how to pronounce it. Oz, right?
Yes. How did you get Wizard of Ass?
I don't know. I thought it was A-Z, and it was pronounced Oz, but it could have been Ass.
Not Wizard of Ass.
All right.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way, the German cowboy wears a pointed hat like the Scarecrow and the Wizard
of Oz.
Yes, the German cowboys, the cowhands, have those pointed Scarecrow hats, yes. Now, if you go to other countries, the cowboys there wear top hats like Abraham Lincoln. That would be in South America and so forth.
Wow.
Weird, huh?
That's pretty weird. Cowboys wearing Abraham Lincoln stovepipe hats.
Yes, that in South America and countries like that.
How come?
I don't know how come. That's what they do.
All right, back with Larry Grover and more we're going to get into the NSA and find out who's being spied on and who isn't and all of that. I'm sure it's just all so very, very scary, and we're right on top of it, if you'll pardon the expression. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I found a picture of a Japanese cowboy, Bud.
Did?
Yeah, and I've got it over here. I'll put it up here on Phil TV in HD. It's the one right here, guys, those of you that are watching Phil TV tonight. These guys here, this picture. Now, I'm assuming that this is an authentic picture. The rest of these cowboy, I put in Japanese cowboy, which was probably my first mistake.
Well, they've got a guy here in a 10-gallon hat wearing a big, and he's got on those big chaps. With a six gun and no pants on. What is that? A gay?
Yeah, that's a joke. I don't know what that is. Those are like Japanese cowboys that are based on American model. I'm talking about working cowboys, okay? Actual guys that work the cattle ranches of Japan. And this picture I have here looks pretty authentic.
Those guys are wearing no cowboy outfit.
You don't have to wear a cowboy outfit. The whole point of being a cowboy is you're working with the cows, man, right? So who says you got to wear a cowboy outfit?
Well, it stands to reason you've got to have at least the hat. Why wouldn't you have on a cowboy hat and the furry chaps?
What do you mean the furry chaps?
Well, Phil, if they're cowboys...
You don't have to wear furry chaps. That's an American who wears those. Just because Americans wear those, you know...
Yeah, but Americans, we're the first one to have a cowboy.
We ain't the first ones to have cowboys. You nuts or something? We've had cowboys down to the... As long as we've had cattle, we've had cowboys. Okay? The only reason why we think of cowboys that way is because those are what American cowboys look like. Every country has got... It's got cattle, it's got cowboys. Or guys that, you know, handle the cows.
You said it might be a woman, too.
Maybe it is women. I don't know. It depends on the country. I just don't know. Have you ever sat down and thought about the cowboy in other countries?
Of course I haven't, Phil, because they don't... I assume they didn't have them.
They didn't have cattle?
Yes, I'm assuming they didn't have cattle.
Where did they get their steaks?
They don't eat steak, hello. Oh, boy.
Phil, you're way behind the ball on this. Where are they going to get a steak?
I hate to break the news to all of you very learned people, but they eat steak in South America. They're eating steak all over the country. South America, are you kidding me? They got cowboys down there.
Well, they in now... You have to correct yourself. They have caballeros. They have the caballero. You know, Bud, you're looking at me inquisitively.
Yeah, what is that?
The caballero. And that is the caballero.
Okay, what is that?
It's a cowboy. I don't...
Well, that's the cowhand, you know.
Get Rudy if Mr. Canoza can join us.
Not that guy. He's always going la 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 la. And he's trying to...
Do what I tell you. Get Rudy on the phone. Talking about whether I'm going to have him on the air or not. I'm getting, you know, just like Sergeant Saunders in combat, huh? I'm getting tired of giving out orders around here and having guys question him. Just do what I say, huh? All right, so...
Very good, Sergeant Saunders. But you realize your first name is Chip.
Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, that to me, that looks like an authentic Japanese cowboy. What we're looking at here, guys, is a picture of a guy. He's got one of those headbands on.
Yeah, that means he's going to commit suicide.
No, it doesn't mean he's going to commit. Why does that mean he commits suicide?
That's what they wear when they're going to commit suicide.
No. Why would he commit suicide, man?
I don't know. It might be they do it out of shame.
If you look at the picture, if he does it out of, maybe he might have herded the cattle in the wrong way.
That's the you understand, Phil?
No, I don't understand. Look, you know something? They wear headbands in Japan for all kinds of reasons.
Well, it's not exactly a headband.
It's like a sweat rag that they put on before they stab themselves. I don't know, Bud.
Yeah, when I get the Harry Carey was the guy that's the guy that did a Cub Games, but they named it after him.
No, they didn't name it after Harry Carey, okay? Wow.
Woo! You talk about naming after Harry Carey.
Excuse me, but that's what they call it when they stab themselves.
Yeah, they stab themselves, and it is called Harry Carey, but it's not spelled the same way, and it ain't named after the guy from the Cubs. Why would they do that?
Didn't he kill himself?
No, he did not kill himself, you idiot. No, he didn't.
Well, Phil, let's get back to the point. If this man did something with those cows, and he's now put on a suicide...
You guys, you're imbeciles. Excuse me, General.
You called me what?
I'm sorry, but it's idiotic. That is something they wear, I'm sure, for work. I don't think it represents suicide. Why is he going to kill himself? He did something with...
You know, this is the thing that I find disturbing. You got upset with that guy that was talking about abusing animals. Well, you think the abuse of an animal is perfectly fine.
No, I do not. I'm just telling you right now, I don't believe that guy with the headband is going to kill himself because he abused one of the cows.
Look at him laughing, General.
Yes, it's very disturbing.
Look at him laugh. See, I'm glad you're here, General. I'm glad I've got a witness to this.
Oh, you know something, Margaret?
No, no, no. We're trying to make a very, very serious point about animal abuse. This man has wrapped the suicide rag around his head. He's going to commit the Harry Carey for some abuse of a cow. That's what we're saying. I'm not saying that's it, but that's the logical conclusion.
No, that's not the logical conclusion. I don't give a damn what you say. So we're going to...
No.
No, we're moving on now, and on the line here from Ted's of Beverly Hills is Larry Grover. Larry, let's talk about President Obama setting the limits on phone spying.
But I got to weigh in on this because I've been listening to this conversation, if I could, Phil.
All right, but very quickly, please.
All right. First of all, if the man is going to commit suicide, it may not have anything to do with the cows that he's in that. I see the picture that Phil's referring to. He might have done something else, and he's going to kill himself right after he herds these cows and gets done with his chores. Did anybody think of that? No, they didn't.
Whoa.
Phil said that he wanted me to have the last word, and I'm going to have the last word. Did you think of that? No, you did not. Did you think of that? You? No. So the idea that...
Larry, I'm all done with the topic, and I don't necessarily agree with you.
Well, you don't have to agree with me. Can't I at least get my point of view out? What's all of a sudden I get short shrift?
Go ahead, God.
Never mind. No, that's okay.
Go ahead, man. You're going to make a big deal out of it.
No, it's fine. Go ahead. I'll talk about President Obama. Doesn't matter. I don't need to say anything about it.
All right, fine.
So Obama, is this okay now if I start talking about this?
Larry, I'm not trying to embarrass you.
No, I'm just, is it all right?
I want to hear your opinion about this cowboy so it's the air is cleared between us, okay?
I was just going to say, I forget what I was going to say, but it had to do with the fact that this guy is probably going to go off and kill himself, after he's done with his chores. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Thank you very much for that. I disagree, if that's okay with you.
Of course it's all right with me.
I don't agree with you or with the general or with Margaret or anybody here. I think that that man is simply wearing that headband, not because he's going to commit suicide, but because that is a form of headwear that they wear, like we do here in America, to keep the sweat out of your eyes. That's what a Japanese cowboy looks like. All right, so keeping a wide net, Obama sets limits on phone spying. Okay, you know something, Grover? I can hang up on you and get somebody else.
Are you done talking, Phil?
Oh, Phil, you didn't hang up on him.
Yeah, I did, you know.
That's kind of baby. That's baby. You're in baby land there, man.
Well, maybe I am in baby land, but I'm not going to sit and I'm trying to explain things. I got a guy snoring. See, everything here, when I start talking, nobody wants to hear about it. When you guys are talking, oh, well, the world's got to stop and hang on every damn word. So we'll just forget it, okay? World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. You know what I can do is get Dean Wheeler on. If he doesn't want to talk about it, I'll get the liberal point of view, you know.
I can provide the liberal point of view. And frankly, it would be better than Dean, because with Dean, we're going to have to listen to the god-awful caterwauling of that screeching and very insecure screeching banshee that he's married to. What's her name again?
Emerilda.
Oh, God. He's going to be on here, Phil, talking to you from that club. And it's going to be just that woman and that horn player that he hates so much. I just find it to be an extremely very, it's always very uncomfortable, that's all.
All right, well, I'm sorry about that, but we're going to have to press on, all right? Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Phil, what is that?
That's the boredom alert.
Hey, pal, no, the boredom alert, okay? What about when Margaret was just talking?
Well, if that guy fell asleep.
When Margaret was just talking, I...
Phil, it's the boredom alert. You're just...
All right. The Phil Henry Show and Phil Henry Show... Give me that thing.
Well, I made a mistake on that one.
Yeah. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So Dean Wheeler's coming next. If Larry wants to come back on here and talk about it, that's fine. We can talk about it all he wants, but he's going to have to now sit with Dean Wheeler. He's going to have to be Dean's bitch.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. He's going to have to sit and listen to Dean say the stuff what he wants to say about this here NSA spy thing. Hi, world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And with me here, Larry Grover. We also want to bring on, Rudy Canoza, a businessman from Buenos Aires, Argentina. He has a store that he runs here in Southern California called Jetem Lingerie. We're going to talk to him about the concept of cowboys in South America.
Oh, Phil, get off that kick, will you? We're talking about Obama.
We're talking about what I say we talk about, okay?
Well,
we're talking about what I say we talk. You don't come in here and tell me what we're talking about.
Phil, you're a little bit on edge.
Anybody would be on edge taking the amount of crap that I'm taking from you guys tonight. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and, you know...
Yeah, I know. You're going to do what you got to do to get Union back.
Yeah, just like Jack Nicholhouse in it.
And the guy's name is Nicholson, not Nicholhouse, you clown. Now, I want to bring on the line here Rudy Canoza from Jetem Lingerie in the Valley. Rudy, let's talk very briefly about the South American caballero, as Margaret calls him, the cowboy. Do you know anything about these guys?
Well, yes, Phil, the gaucho. Margaret, is it with your...
Yes, that's it, the gaucho, the caballero.
Well, yeah, the gaucho is a long tradition of... A long tradition of cowboy and cowhand in South America working these rancheros, you know, in both around the Buenos Aires and in the countryside as well. Because we do, one thing that South America has a great amount of is this ranch land you're referring to, Phil. A great amount of ranch land for the grazing of the beef and the cows and and so on. And the grand tradition of this, to see the caballero as he rides the range proudly, as any gaucho would be proud, to ride the range and to wave the hat in the air and to accomplish yet another day of work, to say, I'm free, I am a man. I am a man and I'm free. To say, yee-hee-hee, yoo-hoo, and ride off into the sunset, you know.
That about a gaucho going to do?
That is exactly right, my friend. The gaucho. Is Mr. Henry there, though?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, I didn't know if he is. Bud's not conducting this, is he?
Well, no, Bud isn't. I'm sorry, Phil.
No, Bud is not.
Okay, because it sounded like if it's just me and Bud, it would be embarrassing to me and my prospects, of course, for to have a woman to be close to me, because she would think that Bud is the kind of guy I can't. That's what I rate when it comes to male friends.
Yeah, but would Gary talk about a gaucho?
Yes, I'm talking about a gaucho, Bud. So, to be a proud Argentinian man, to be a proud Argentinian man, to know that you are a man who appreciates and holds on high on the pedestal the woman, so that when you see a woman, you will say, ah, la, 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 la. See, you almost gag if it is a...
Yeah, no, I understand that, but there's this, the pride of being the gaucho.
Yes, and then there's also the pride of being the gaucho. And that is when you get high in the saddle and you see the sun is rising on a new day. The beauty of the mountains and the buttes and the beauty of the cactus land and the graze land and the rivers and the mountains. And the sun rises above all in a golden orb as it rises above God's land. And as the proud gaucho, the Argentinian gaucho, in his grand tradition, will wave his hat in the air, take off the sash that he binds his midsection with, the multicolored sash, and the hat comes flying off. And then he pulls his shirt off. I know it sounds like he's doing some kind of a strip. He's not doing that, but the shirt comes off, the sash comes off, the hat comes off. You're wearing shorts.
Are you wearing already?
No, no, your pants come off, but there's shorts underneath. And then you say, and you ride off.
Wow, that's...
That is a manly thing?
Yes, very manly, very manly. Don't misunderstand, General. In my country, that is a very manly. Then you ride off to take care of the cow, you know.
But you see, Rudy, I'm sorry, darling. You see that if you take off your pants and then you ride off to take care of the cow, as you said.
No. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid, you know.
I'm not stupid, thank you very much.
Well, don't.
Now, come on, Rudy, hold on for just a minute.
No, she is trying to make this into something it is not. I'm talking about a very proud tradition of the gaucho.
I understand that, and no one's trying to offend you. Margaret, I think that you probably could present your point a little bit differently.
All right, I'm sorry, Rudy. What I was going to say was, when you say that you whip off the pants, but you're wearing shorts... What can you tell me what the meaning of this ritual is?
The meaning of the ritual is very easy. That man, the gaucho, the proud Argentinian gaucho, is one with the landscape. He's one with the environment. He's one with the cow, not one with the cow as if in your mind, I don't know what you think. I'm not going to attribute anything to you, but you think I'm one with the cow because I want to have a sex act with it. That is simply a perverted and almost... silly thought. I cannot even think that anyone would take that seriously.
No, I don't think anybody's saying that. It's a funny thing. So you're taking the hat off?
Yes, you take off your hat, you take the multicolored sash, which is tied about the midsection of the gaucho, and with the removal of the sash, the shirt and the pants, revealing only the shorts, and you're wearing tennis shoes. You don't wear boots, because the tennis shoes allow you to leap from the horse. And, okay, so now I can't see anyone, but are you rolling your eyeballs now at this one?
Well, I've got a question. No one's rolling their eyeball, Rudy.
Rolling their one eyeball? That you
Eyeballs.
Okay.
Yes, eyeballs. No one's rolling their... You said that you are wearing sneakers?
No, I did not say sneakers. I said tennis shoes. See, the Argentinian cowboy must free himself, and once you leap from the horse, you must have the leg strength, and you must have the agility and the swiftness and speed of a gazelle, as if you're chasing, running wild with a coyote, you see. And we must run wild with the coyote because we must protect the herd from the coyote. There's nothing worse for the cow than the coyote. And it's much the same way when a man is married. You don't want a coyote coming around your cow. I would never marry a cow. You do not want to marry the cow because the cow can make you look foolish. But by the same token, if you marry the cow, you have to make sure that you protect the cow from the coyote. You understand, Phil?
Yeah, I understand, Rudy. I appreciate that very much. It's very, very important. You know,
I don't like the whole cow.
No. You understand, Margaret.
She didn't mean. No, that's fine. So, okay, that's Rudy. Thank you for explaining that. So,
yeah. So we leap from the horse. There we go. And
let me ask you: if you saw a beautiful woman in the middle of your cow, the cow ranching, or the cowboying, how would you express that?
If I saw a beautiful woman while I was working as a gaucho.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to be, it would be very tricky, but I'd see the beautiful woman, I'd go, ah, la, 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 yoo-hoo-hoo. You see? So I'm racing to be a part of the sunset, and I'm racing to be a part of the sunrise. And my pants have flown off, and the multicolored sash has flown off in much the way that the gaucho would wear him. And my hat has come off, and I've waved my hat before I throw it in the dirt. Because these hats are very expensive, but one of the most important things, if you were to be an Argentinian gaucho, is to understand that you buy a very expensive hat, a hat that could quite possibly mean losing your home. You understand, Phil?
Yeah, no, I don't understand. I got to buy a hat so expensive I could lose my home.
Yes, that is demanded of every Argentinian gaucho. And once you buy the hat, and once you are now... dancing and galloping out into the sun, then you take the hat off and you go, and you throw it into a ravine and hoping, praying that it winds up on a cactus. So,
in other words, buy a really expensive hat that could break your family finances and then throw it and destroy it in the throwing of it so you can never wear it again.
Well, you could wear it again, but people would say, look at the clown. Look at the clown in his clown hat. It's no longer the proud hat of a gaucho. So, no. You must never wear it again. Otherwise, people will say you look like a clown.
Okay, Rudy, thanks a lot. That was great.
That was great. What am I, auditioning? I'm not auditioning. I'm telling you the tradition of the gaucho. So it's a la, 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 and then...
All right, Rudy Canoza, folks. That was fantastic.
No, it wasn't. That's the weirdest thing...
Well, I understand. You know, there's a lot of traditions that we don't understand as Americans, and why do we have to put down everyone?
I'm not putting them down, but I mean, I wanted to know about... You know what? I guess that does answer my question. I wanted to know about the kinds of gauchos and cowboys they have.
See, I think the entire premise is a little weird. What do you care? I think it's very... I'm not saying anything, Phil, but I think it's very weird and very bad for your image to be... what does a Japanese cowboy look like? You know what I'm saying? You're almost like a real a honey. You know what they say of good-looking guys in the gay community? Not that you'd be one of them, but...
Thank you very much.
Well, what do you care, Phil?
Yeah, well, you want to be all good-looking?
No, I guess I don't mind being good-looking if I could be.
Well, it's almost as if you're acting like you're a honey, you know?
No, I don't know. No, I don't know.
Oh, God, the face you just gave, your face scrunches up into the most hideous mask.
All right. Thank you, Rudy, for that. We'll get back to our good friend Dean Wheeler here as we talk about the NSA. If we ever do actually talk about the NSA, I'll be shocked beyond words if it is something that we actually get to tonight. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. On our website is the Backstage Pass membership form, if you will, or membership information. You can get one of two levels of Backstage Pass. You can get the audio only, or you can get the all-access Backstage Pass. Two different prices, so two ways to listen and enjoy the show. We're also every night providing a free feed of our show live. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and welcome back here. All right, can I get Dean Wheeler here? We'll talk about, and if Larry wants to come back on, that's great. I don't mind Larry being on, but I am not going to sit and listen to, you know, him getting his feelings hurt about whatever that, you know, I don't know what his problem was, okay?
Well, Phil, I think because you don't remember what the problem was, maybe we can just move past it.
we got so many problems around here that I forget what the problem was. Oh, one thing I do want to remind people, and this is very important. Larry, thanks for rejoining us here.
I I'm not trying to cause a problem, Bill. I'm just simply saying, the Japanese guy that was hiding out in the jungle. I agree with what the general said and with what everyone said. Any of these Japanese guys are hiding out in the jungle. They should have gone directly from the jungle on the first nonstop plane. I don't know how you do it. And Don Berman said it much better than me. I'd go up to Japan and I'd find the emperor and I'd urinate all over him. And I think that's the only way you satisfy the honor of a Japanese soldier.
All right. Well, that's very nice, Larry. Thank you for your your opinion. But I think you're disgracing, not disgracing.
Why do you have to use such strong terminology?
You're not disgracing. That's not a very nice thing to say. Those guys gave their lives for the emperor, okay?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. They gave their lives for the emperor while he's kicking it with state-of-the-art geishas, and his commanding general is kicking it with a brand-new Deep Purple Live in Tokyo tape. Do you realize that when these guys were rotting and stinking it out in the jungle, eating venomous snake and eel, that his commanding officer is seeing Deep Purple at the Butsudan? Are you ready for that?
What, are you going to cry about it?
Well, I feel bad about it.
Yeah, that's what the guy did. The commanding officer went directly to the Tokyo, Butsudan. What the hell is that?
I mean, what's the thing that they went to?
I think you're talking about, I saw Cheap Trick at the Tokyo Budokan.
You saw Cheap Trick?
Yes, I saw Cheap, oh, look at you. So what's so weird about that?
I didn't know that you liked that kind of music.
I don't, I despise it. I absolutely despise it, but my daughter apparently had started dating that Tom Peterson who was in the Cheap Trick, so I had to see it to believe it. I couldn't believe my daughter would have an interest in a guy that looked like Art Carney on LSD.
And you talk about Rick Nielsen?
What's the guy with the baseball cap?
Yeah, no, that was Rick Nielsen.
All right, that's the guy that my daughter wanted to move in with.
Oh, man, I you know what, General, I take it, I don't even want to have your life.
Well, and I don't want you to have my life. I'm running my life very fine. Thank you very much.
Well, all I'm saying is, while the guys are stinking it out of the jungle, the former commanding officer goes and sees Deep Purple live in Tokyo, and...
How do you know the former how do you know any of that's true?
It stands to reason. Hi, I'm in Japan, and the war's been over 30 years. Oh, let's get some rock and roll, and let's buy some licorice, and let's go on a roller coaster... And to hell with the emperor and all that. And, you mean one of my guys is still in the jungle doing all kinds of Shinto Buddhist exercises and working with his sword? Oh, well. To me...
Well, he didn't do that. He went down there and got the guy out. Okay, so let's on to the more important things, which is the NSA and the fact that it's been in the jungle... Not the
NSA's not in the jungle.
I know that. The NSA and Obama setting limits on how many Japs...
Phil, you get a grip, will you?
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, folks. It's Obama and the wide net on catching...
Lance Corporals.
Yes, Japanese Lance... It's the wide net on the NSA stuff. Now, Larry Grover is with us, and also joining us here on our Newsmaker line is, by the way, thank you, our very, very fine maintenance department, engineering department, for fixing the Newsmaker line, which we were not able to use last night, but we did have some very interesting in-studio guests. We do have Dean Wheeler at Emmy's, which is a jazz club in the East Bay, and on the line is Larry Grover. Dean, how are you?
I feel real good. It's great to be with you.
Larry Grover is with us. And he'll be commenting.
Hey, Dean, how you been?
Oh, hi, Larry.
Hey, how you been?
I'm fine. We're over here at Emmy's tonight. Emerella's going to sing.
Yeah, I heard.
Have you heard her sing?
Yes, I have. And
what do you think of her singing? Be honest with me.
I think it's just wonderful. I think she's really great.
You hear that, honey?
Oh, she's already on the stage now, so I'll tell her later. Yeah, please do.
Okay, so the NSA and President Obama responding by... maintaining this wide net, but setting limits on phone spying, Larry Grover.
Well, Phil, I don't think there's any doubt at all that President Obama is running scared. He's sweating bullets. The American people have weighed in on this, and they have been very clear. They want to be protected from terrorism, and they want to make sure that we're able to, you know, hear the chatter so that if someone is planning on, you know, God forbid, flying an airplane into a building again, but they also don't want us to be listening to, I say us, they also don't want the government to be listening to telephones. You see what I'm saying? So I agree with the American people. This needs to be very strictly monitored. But we also want to do it.
To me, you sound as confused as the American people probably are, even though the American people probably think they're very, very clear on this thinking.
I'm not confused at all. What are you talking about? I'm confused. I'm not confused.
All right, so you're saying what? You're saying...
I'm trying to say it. I'm saying that we need to monitor whatever the terrorists are doing. I'd appreciate if it's not on my phone. I'm not a terrorist. Okay?
I understand. But how does the government know that?
How does the government know? They know that by... Well, they'd have to listen to my phone. But if they listen to just a little bit of my phone and not listen to a whole bunch, they'll know I'm not a terrorist.
How do you... I don't understand that.
Phil, what Larry is trying to say...
Hold on. I'll say it, Margaret. I mean, Margaret, I love you and respect you, but you're a liberal, and I can't take that chance.
All right, that's fine.
I'm saying that... Phil, can I jump? Phil, this is Dean Wheeler. Hold on, Dean. I'm not done yet.
All right.
I'm saying that I don't... Obama is overstepping his bounds with the NSA and the phone record thing. And
well, what about Bush?
Well, don't bring Bush... Yes, Bush did it, but don't bring Bush up. He did it, but I don't... We don't want you to bring up... Please don't bring up Bush, because he's not president, even though he did do it. But he's not president, even though he done did... Yeah, even though he do did it. He done do did...
Can I say something?
Excuse me, I'm not done yet.
Well, you're going, even though he done do did it, I'm thinking that you're needing a rest, that maybe your mouth needs a rest.
Man, the only one whose mouth, well...
How dare... Were you going to say that my mouth needs a rest?
From talking. I didn't say there was anything in it. All right?
Well, by saying that, I demand you hang up on him.
Look, Larry...
I didn't say that your mouth needed a rest from something that was in it. I said...
All right.
Thank you very much, Phil.
That was probably wrong of me to do that, but I did it because you are the one with the mind here, Margaret.
Did you hear what he just said? I didn't say that I said that your mouth needs a rest by something being in it. Well, that's just as vulgar and offensive.
Well, what does he mean by that? I'm kidding. I know what he meant.
Oh, it's just a big joke tonight, isn't it?
Oh, Margaret, are we going to start the ball now?
Yeah. Hey, Margaret, don't cry. He's an idiot.
All right, let's get Dean Wheeler back here. He's at the Emmys in the East Bay. And I think his wife is on stage, Emerald. Dean, thank you. Larry just ran afoul of Margaret.
Yeah, I heard that.
All right, your take on President Obama.
Well, I think what you just heard there from the, she's whispering again.
Dean, please pay attention to...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think what you heard there with Larry Grover was a guy that is trying to explain why he likes and why he doesn't like President Obama's efforts at the at interdicting or discovering or intercepting potentially dangerous messages using phone records. I think this is the problem that all of those people that hate Obama have. They recognize that he's doing sensible.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com at the El Pacifico here every night till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 o'clock on the East Coast.
And I want, for this is General Galen Shaw reminding everyone that the weather is cool. What about the fires?
General, you don't have to say remind me. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Well, I let General Galen Shaw announce himself.
Yes, so, Margaret, you can go ahead and button it up.
Well, excuse me.
Just go ahead and button it up. If you don't mind, button it up.
General...
Button it up.
Watch out, General.
This is General Galen Shaw, and what I wanted to say was the weather was beautiful. It's very warm. And I'll find out about the fires, and I'd like Margaret Gray to shut the beer drain under her nose.
That is absolutely offensive. There, I did that in protest.
Okay, so I see the maturity level on this show just continues to go through the roof, man. We have got all kinds of very mature... Where are my glasses, bud?
They fell down there.
I saw that. All kinds of mature people.
I belched in protest to his pig-like assault on me.
Pig-like assault.
He said, shut the beer drain under your nose? He said that? Oh, my God.
God, Margaret.
No, not God, Margaret, anything. Let me tell you something. In 1960... All right, never mind, Margaret.
Okay. Welcome back to the show. Now, that's some welcome. I'll say it again. You got to keep the beer drain under the nose closed every bit as much as you keep that sewage hole underneath your... All right. So we had on the phone Dean Wheeler and Larry Grover, and they were talking about President Obama and the, who, like I said, I'll just finish up. I could care less. Anything, we had this thing called 9/11 happen. Everybody's forgotten about that and how panicked everybody was about that. I don't care. Get over here, my freaking cell phone calls. What makes people think that what they're doing is so damn interesting to the government anyway, you know? And exactly how does this work? And what is the president? Everybody's worried about all this totalitarian police state stuff, you know?
What do you mean?
What I mean is, other than having read about it in George Orwell fantasies, and where what is your basic fear is going to have? I know there's an awful lot of overwrought people out there, paranoid, middle-aged white men who, even though they've held on to their last nickel and would probably hold on to their bowel movements, too, if they could trade them for something. I mean, I'm serious. These literally middle-aged, paranoid white men who believe that the grand bastion of freedom, which is their stupid asses, is gradually evaporating with the black guy in Washington. What makes them think that what they've got to say or feel or do about anything is of any interest to any government agency, intelligence-wise or otherwise? That's numero uno, okay? And even though they're just ever so fearful and frightened and scared to death of all of this nasty stuff happening, these dumbasses are all over things like Facebook and Twitter and every other social media site you can possibly think of. They haven't slowed down. They've sped up. You know what's really funny? The Joe Stack Manifesto. Do you remember this guy, Joe Stack?
Yeah, that's the guy that flew the airplane. Yeah, in the building.
Right. That guy was a mental case. That guy should have been locked up. What he did was he murdered somebody in his own suicide effort. But that guy should have been locked up years ago. That guy became a big, spokesperson.
We understand that part, Phil, yes, for all the paranoid imbeciles.
Well, he became a spokesperson for all these people that were, tired of the government, this, tired of the government, that. Well, what did they do? They took to Facebook to talk about it. I mean, what are you talking about, if you're afraid of the government and the technocrats controlling the information superhighways, and then you turn around and use the very thing that you say that they're... I've never seen anything like it before in my life. If you're really all that scared about the environment you live in, the intelligent thing to do is to move. When people say to me, no, I'm going to stay. It's my right to stay in this country and fight it. They're not fighting anything. They're sitting on their dead ass, watching TV on a weekend, going off to work, paying their taxes. They're not fighting anything. They're just sitting.
Well, Phil, yes, they are. They're online and blogging.
Oh, they're blogging.
Don't make a big thing. When you blog, do you blog?
No, I do not blog.
Yeah, I know a lot of people blog.
I blog, and a lot of the people that I know blog. And when you blog, you are blogging, okay?
Yes, you're blogging.
As a protest against the blog, against the blob, the government blob.
You're getting ahead of yourself, Margaret.
I know. Hold on. When you blog, you are blogging against the blob...
Against the blob blog?
The government's blog of blob...
You're doing this on purpose, or...
I'm not doing anything on purpose. I'm telling you that...
Okay, so let's just stop there. Blogging, is that the big protest? Oh, okay.
Well, Phil, people protest in their own ways.
Oh, give me a break. If you're afraid of the government coming down on your ass because they're totalitarian and because they're going to, you know, just really do all kinds of nasty stuff, then you are taking care not for them to catch you as you move about the internet underground, alerting everybody. But that's not the case. These people are all over the place, communicating on in all different areas, areas that they say the government is surveying, areas that they say the government is compromised, using their phones, using their texting, using them. I mean, the idea that people are saying, I'm staying in America to fight it, they're not fighting anything. They're not fighting. The only thing, they're opening their mouths and talking. That's how they fight it. You know?
Well, Phil, because people find that America, love it or leave it. You remember that. That's wrong.
Yeah, the America, love it or leave it, I didn't agree with. But there does come a point. If you're saying that things are that dangerous, get your ass out of here, man. I'll give Snowden that much. Well, actually, Snowden didn't leave of his own free will. Snowden left because he was going to be arrested. Otherwise, Snowden would have sat his damn stupid ass down here and would have continued doing his thing and probably gotten all kinds of love for it. You know, here's the thing about this guy Snowden. I have to trust some guy's interpretation of the documents that Snowden has absconded with, some writer, some journalist, some newspaper that is favorably disposed to this guy's outing of all these secrets. I have to sort of just trust them that all this stuff that he's got is super, super valuable. I haven't heard one thing, not one, that has been so earth-shaking and so utterly devastating. Not one piece of information that guy come out with that has been so devastating that it has compromised and scandalized the U.S. government beyond recall or repair. I haven't seen one. Let me tell you something about the NSA story. The American people don't care. Now, when you get that out there, the geniuses respond with, well, they're a bunch of sheeple. Yeah, sure. That's right, man. They're a bunch of sheeple, and you are really, really smart. As you go about your life in exactly the same way you went about it before you found out all this nasty stuff that allows you to hate Obama even more than you did before.
Well, you're saying that this is all information that allows people to hate Barack Obama more so than they did in previous times to the when they did.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So I'm glad we got that out of the way. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back. I wanted to mention, and this is extremely important, this is way more important than the NSA spying on you. This is way more important than the possibility of gulags and concentration camps that could be afoot for, let's say, people of Arab descent. This is way more important than whether or not the government is stealing your money and using it to buy cocaine for Dick Cheney. This is way more important. The Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirt is now in stock. We were sold out, as you know, and we are no longer, and we got all sizes in, and it's a beautiful thing, and we'd like you to go ahead and, get on over to the online store at philhenryshow.com and get the new, well, not new, but get the new, fresh, and restocked Teds of Beverly Hills shirt. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Yes, bud, the fader is up there to the studio, to Nikki's studio, because we got to be able to hear her. You understand?
Yeah, I understand that, but you got to hear her, then she's going to be on the radio.
I don't give a damn about that. When we pulled the fader out, we went into a break at the top of the hour. We didn't even know we'd gone into the break. I'm still talking. You guys should have seen it, those of you listening at home. Those of you who are watching on Phil TV, you saw it. You saw it, and you watched in horror. As I just, so another thing that happened to me last week, I'm little. And meanwhile, Nikki's gone into a break. We're into the second commercial of the, nobody knows that I'm even alive. No one knows.
Well, don't start feeling sorry for yourself.
I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm just saying, you know, I'm talking, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, though. I remember a guy that I used to work at a radio station with. And anyway, he's, you know, talking. And they said, no, we're in a commercial break. He's all, I go, what's the matter? He goes, no one even knows that I'm alive.
Yeah, I remember that guy. What's his name?
I forget.
Oh, will you get out of here? Quit making it up.
That's what they do. They make these things up.
You know, bud?
I'm not making it up. The guy's all, what do you mean? I wasn't on the air. I start crying and everything.
What's his name?
I think it was you.
Yeah, will you shut up? It wasn't me. I got stories from my radio past, let me tell you. Anyway, world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I remember one time I was on the air at a radio station. And speaking of blowing through a break, now, I'd only been in radio about 2 years, and I'm doing a weekend show. I was on full-time, but this is back in the day when you work 6 days a week. I wouldn't work 6 days a week. You know how much money that I got to pay me to work 6 days a week now? That kind of money's gone from radio, okay?
You did the 6 days a week. You had the KFI show.
Yeah, and it wasn't worth it. Well, it sort of was, but it was killing me. So I'm on the air and I'm doing this show, and the news guy that had to come in and do the top of the hour news is sitting in there, and he's going through his news, and he also had brought a six-pack of Budweiser Talls. So he's going back and forth between this cooler pulling beers as he's doing his news. And even at that, you know, stage of my career, even though it was the early 70s, you didn't drink when you were working. You just didn't do it. Some people would have the cocktails at lunch or the martinis at lunch, but not if you're working on the air. Well, this guy's the news guy, and he's having beers. Now I'm looking at the clock. And in those days, as you still do, we had the news break came at the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, I'd say, this is such and such radio station, and we break for news, or whatever the hell they had. And I'm playing the music, and I'm looking at the clock. And I'm playing the music, and I'm looking at the clock. And I've got the liner all set to play. Say, it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon here in Busted Whistle, Arkansas. It's time for news. Boom! You know.
You're working at Busted Whistle?
No, man. I was working in another town, which I won't mention.
Well, why not just name the town?
All right, it was Orlando.
Oh, I see. Will you name the station, too?
No, I will not name the station. So it was in Orlando, Florida. It was just like 2 years into my career, and I see the clock finally gets to the top of the hour, and the guy's still not in the studio. He had to come into the news position and sit down, and I put another record on, and I walk in there, and I say, we got to do news. He goes, a couple more minutes.
You're kidding.
No, a couple of more minutes. And I'm watching him drinking these beers. Now, at the time, I thought that he was, you know, just really sloppy and really stupid. That's what I thought. But that's impossible. That's impossible. You know, as a newsman that you got to hit a break. There's nothing there's nothing in this world that is sure, especially if you work in radio. You may be the dumbest guy that ever got out of the cradle. But if you're working in the news business, if you're working on any broadcast effort, you know what a clock is, and you know what a hard break is, and you know when you have to be on the air. And there's one thing that there's no such thing as in the radio business. There's no such thing as, give me a couple of minutes, man. No. When it says, I got to be on the air there, I got to be on the air there. You know when you're late. You know when you're early. If you're coming in late, you're late. You may be there 5-10 minutes after the fact, but you're late, Jack, and somebody's going to be pissed. And someone's going to chew your ass. So he said to me, give me a couple of minutes. I walked back and I sat down and I sort of waited for this guy. I wasn't really sure what to do, you know.
Well, do you just keep playing music or do you say, and here's another hit from the Bull Weevils or whatever the groups were?
Were you playing country music?
No, I was playing some chicken rock music. It was playing just middle of the road music. So finally the guy with 3 minutes after the top of the hour, 3 minutes late, he comes in and he sits down and he does the news. I called up our program director because I wasn't going to live with this. I mean, I wasn't going to go through a whole afternoon of it. I just wasn't. I wasn't going to sit there and wait to see whether I had a guy showing up on time to do his news. So I called up our PD, who's a very nice guy. And a guy named Pete, I'm not giving you the last name.
Pete Forgione.
He worked out in the desert until he retired. Did he work in Palm Springs, did he?
Yes. Sorry, Pete. Well, no, not sorry, Pete. Pete was a great guy. loved working for Pete. I called him. I said, Pete, look, this guy is missing the break. Don't worry. Let me talk to him. And that's the last time I saw that clown.
Oh, they fired him.
Oh, yeah, they did. They fired him. But here's why I brought this up. In all the years since, every now and again, I remember that guy. And now I realize that that guy was just, it was a power play. I mean, as stupid as it sounds, as asinine as it sounds, as utterly pointless as it sounds, this guy didn't like the young 20-something punk new disc jockey walking in and saying to him, hey, man, you got to get on the air. That rubbed him the wrong way. You know, he was, at the time, I was looking at a guy who was probably in his late 30s. He's drinking his freaking lunch. He's drinking on the job. God knows this guy's life is probably on a spiral downward. I had no idea, and frankly, I didn't give a damn. I just need him to get in there and do the news, you know.
Well, didn't you? You should have had some compassion for the man if he's... This is a man that is self-medicating.
What do you mean, self-medicating?
Yeah, self-medicate. Drinking a tall boy?
If he's drinking tall boys... Yeah, I would understand if he was drinking a regular can of beer. Here's a guy that loads up on the tall boys as he's attempting to do the news. It must have been something devastating in his life.
Well, the general's got a point. If he's... Was it a sixer or was it a case?
What difference does it make? You guys are telling me because he's drinking tall boys? Well, now that's a whole different thing. I should have compassion.
You see what he's doing, General?
Well, you actually should have. A level of compassion. Yes, you should.
Well, I'm just, I don't know what to say, and I don't have any compassion, and no, you don't get to sit there and suck down tall Budweisers on the job while the guy is on the air and he's waiting for you to come in and do the news so I can, what if I had to go to the bathroom? What if I just wanted to walk outside and bare-ass some cars going by? What if I wanted to smoke a cigarette? What if I wanted to call my girlfriend? I had a million things to do. One of the things that I don't have to do 10 minutes out of every hour is be a DJ. That's when the news guy comes in and does the news. You know.
So you had this man fired.
I didn't tell anybody to fire the guy. I told Pete, I said, I don't know what's going on, but this jackass that is doing the news this afternoon is late coming in at the top of the hour. He was a minute late last hour. He's been 3 minutes late this hour. He's not hitting the top of the hour when he's supposed to be doing the news. He said, I understand, Phil. Let me take care of it. He said, I don't even remember him saying, can you handle it for the rest of the afternoon? But the guy was gone, man. Gone, baby. Gone with the wind the next week.
Man, you got to do what you got. Man got to do what a man got to do.
What do you mean a man got to do what a man got to do? This is a man.
Yeah, I know. Was self-medicating with a tall boy of Budweiser. I don't believe in it, okay?
Well, back in the day, you know, it wasn't such a criminal offense for a man to crack a cold brew.
If you're working, you don't, not in radio, you don't do that.
You don't.
No, you do not. No, you don't. You don't drink and you don't get high on the job, so forget that. All right, Steve Bozell will be with us here in a moment. Vernon Dozier will be up with us as well as we talk about this weekend's football action. I know we had a little bit of conversation with Steve last night, and we got off on that BA conversation. I'm telling you, I don't want to hear any more about that.
Well, it was because of the fires.
Yeah, I know we had fires, and Steve has had fires on his property, and I'm very, very mindful of that, Steve, but we can't continue to be a sounding board and a platform for you to get pissed off at the L.A. Fire Department, or the Fire Department of
one
L.A.
minute.
County, however they're called that, because you say that one of them hung his ass out the window of the Super Scooper and BA'd your daughter.
If that's true, that man should be fired.
Well, I guess so.
What an ass.
Well, I mean, Margaret, it goes without saying. It goes without saying. All right, it's the Phil Henry Show. So, yeah, we'll get the guys on the line here. They will be in tomorrow as well as Sunday as they begin their coverage of the National Football League AFC and NFC Championships, bud.
Yeah, it ought to be pretty a lot of fun. And
what do you mean it ought to be pretty a lot of fun?
I mean, it'll be fun.
Well, it will be fun. Is this the theme music to Get Off by Foxy?
Are you kidding me? Get out of here. This is gay tech.
It's what?
It's tech gay.
Five.
Four, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Two. One.
We're world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So as I mentioned, our online store is now totally restocked with the Teds of Beverly Hills T-shirts, which we're very proud to have in store, in our online store. So that's a beautiful thing. And let's see what else. Well, of course, we have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies and all the other goodies, such as our T-shirts, the Phil Hendry Show T-shirts and hats. We've got our shot glasses, the ever-popular shot glasses. We have, what else we got, bud?
Yeah, I got the Bobby Dooley keychain, and I got all the Best Of CD.
Right, the Best Of CDs. These are our legacy CDs that go back to 1997. I think it was the first year. Actually, we also have downloads, and I'm remiss sometimes in telling you about the downloads. You can download a Best Of 1994 from Miami, Florida CD at our website. It's not the actual hard copy with the artwork and so on and so forth. But, as I said, it is a download of that CD, all of the material on that CD, and I think you'll enjoy it. So where the hell is the Ted's theme? Here it is, Ted's of Beverly Hills, because we're bringing Ted Bell on from Ted's of Beverly Hills to tell us a little bit more about the hoodies. And then we have, of course, our good friend Steve Bozell coming on here and Vernon Dozier talking football.
Ted!
Hills reminding you that football weekend is upon us, so if you want to watch the football game, you come into Ted of Beverly Hills. I don't want to read this copy anymore. Can you hear that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hold on for a minute, for God's sake. Turn the garbage. Can you hear me? Because it's a very busy night tonight.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I got this news. They gave me a script to read. I asked Dickman to give me a script.
Why are you yelling?
Because I can't hear myself think in this dump. And I didn't mean to call it a dump. It's a great restaurant, folks. But I'm in the kitchen. I got to whip these guys into shape. We got two new pizza ovens. And I've been crawling all over these things all day long looking to see where they were made. I think they're from Italy. I hope and pray to God Almighty and Jesus, his son, that these were made in Italy and not where I'm afraid they were made.
All right. I remember you had that problem with when you opened up the restaurant up north. Did you find out?
Yeah, they're Italian. All right. That's a cursory look. Would you guys shut up? I got a script here for... Is Dickman there?
Yeah, right here.
Well, this script that I got, the Ted's of Beverly Hills script, here's what it is. Hi, Ted of Beverly Hills. You come down, you have food here, it good. Are you kidding?
Bud.
I didn't write that.
Well, who wrote that?
I got that from the ad agency that the very same people that want to put the meat in the mouth.
That want to put the meat in the... What is he talking about?
He's saying that that's the very same ad agency that wrote that we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Are you kidding me?
That's from New York?
Yeah, that's from New York.
Look at this. Hey, play the jingle again. I want people to get the full effect of this, okay? Because this is really something, man. Boy, this takes a pair.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
That's it. Close the door.
Come on down.
Hi, Ted Bell. You come down, you have steak, and you have meat. We put meat in mouth. Ha, ha, ha. That's what it says.
You're kidding.
No, would I kid you?
Here at Ted's.
Yeah, you would.
All right, so open the door again, okay, because it's stifling hot in here. God almighty, it's hotter than hell. Is it hot out there?
It's been hot, Ted, all week. All week.
Ted, the temperature hasn't been below 83 or 84 degrees during the daytime at all.
Yeah, it's just been hot as living hell, and those poor firefighters... you know, God bless our great firefighters here in Southern California. I just get to hope and pray that they're all, that everybody comes out of there and is okay. You know, we don't need to have any injuries. And what the hell is going on now?
Hey, you want to play it again?
Ted,
what are you doing?
I got the thing here. Hi, I'm Ted Beverly Hills. You come down, you have steak, it good. Then meat, it go in mouth. Ha ha, not in. Oh, I see what's wrong.
Well, what is he doing?
Are you reading the copy there?
Yeah.
Give me that.
What are you guys doing? Are you auditioning for the spot? What are you doing?
I just wanted to look at the, if you don't mind, Ted, I wanted to look at the copy myself to see if what you guys were talking about. I'm not saying that you're a liar. I just wanted to see it for myself. It's pretty weird, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you it's weird. I got a copy of that today from Rocco Harstock, who does the communications
direction for the Milwaukee Lions, and he also works for this ad agency in New York. You know this guy, Harstock?
I've heard about him.
Yeah, Well, let me tell you something. I don't want that guy coming near me, because the last time that guy came near me, I almost took all of his teeth out of his head surgically. I wasn't even going to punch him. I was going to use a scalpel, pliers. I had all the fixings, and...
What happened between you and him?
I'll tell you what happened between him and me. He showed up at one of our production meetings. That's what happened between him and me. I don't want to see that guy, because the pliers are still at my desk. All right, so, you know, there's just a little bit of a heads up there.
It seems to me that whatever this copy got fed, it got garbled by way of the printer, or was garbled when it was sent. How was this sent in an email, bud?
No, it came on a text.
On a text? What are you guys texting stuff from New York?
No, they don't text. They email. I don't know. What do you mean a text?
Well, yeah, it was a phone text.
A phone text. I got to talk to this guy, Harstock. He's, boy, every time the name Rocco Harstock makes me want to punch something, you know? So let me see this. Hi, I'm Ted Bell. You should come and eat the steak. We put our meat in your mouth and not somewhere else. Ha, 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 ha. I'm only kidding. Are you kidding me with this?
I didn't write it.
Well, I know you didn't write it. I'll tell you something. Somebody is going to, not to be too overly cruel, but someone is going to be twisting in the breeze for this one. I mean it. Someone is going to be twisting, and you're going to be hearing just that you know what I mean?
All right, don't be so graphic, Ted.
Ted, that is absolutely ghoulish and unnecessary.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm the guy paying for this. I am actually paying so that people can get their kicks running my commercial. Let me see that copy again. Let me see the... Here. Yeah, watch
Ted,
this. Yeah, here it is.
The Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Hi, I'm Ted Bell. You come to restaurant, put meat in mouth. Ha, ha, ha. Better we put in mouth than the other place. That's what that copy says.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
What are you laughing at?
Are you kidding? I mean, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard, man.
That's the funniest thing you've ever... That's my commercial message, my friend.
I understand, Ted.
No, well, you don't understand if you think that's, quote, the funniest thing you ever heard. I'm offended by that. I pay a lot of money for advertising on your show and a lot of money for this Rocco Harstock and the rest of these guys. I'm going to tell you something. Bodies are going to be swinging. I'm telling you. I hope there isn't a stiff breeze tomorrow, because you're just going to see them in the gallows going back and forth.
Yeah, that's like something right out of the Nazi.
You better believe it, my friend. Only Ted's in town. Ted Bell's in town. I'll be goose-stepping into town. Okay? And the only guy I'm looking for is an advertising executive. Advertising agency executives. That's what I'll be looking for, and they'll be going swinging from the...
All right, that's...
You know something, Phil? That's the kind of thing people can call the FCC and say that you are being negligent and you're acting like a weirdo. I don't know what they say when they write the letters. Do you know what they say when they write the letters, bud?
Yeah, I'm talking.
What are you doing, bud?
I just want to see you one more time.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
I'm saying something
Steakhouse.
Here.
Hold on.
Come on down.
Hi, I'm Ted Bell. You come down. You have meat. Meat go in mouth. Ha, ha, ha. My meat in your mouth. Nah, it doesn't seem bad to me.
Oh, is that right? Well, take it from me. You're not the arbiter of this, bud. We'll be fine with it, okay? I had to hang up on Ted because he's getting a little...
Call back.
Ted, I'm sorry I had to hang up on you, man, but it the whole ee in the goose step, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, but am I not allowed to be indignant over what I think is the manhandling of my commercial message by Rocco Harstock and his cadre of thugs? You know, these New York ad agencies, boy, I really love them, man. They love to take the cake, don't they? They think because they're back there on Madison Avenue, they just got all the answers, huh? This is L.A., huh? You understand? This is a whole different world from that stifling, claustrophobic den of thieves that you live in and around back there in New York. This is out here on the broad, beautiful byways of the West Coast, man. We got the sun, we got the surf, baby, and I got the meat. And I can tell you right now...
Yeah, see, that's...
When you hang up on him, though, it only encourages him.
What do you mean? He's out of control because he's pissed off about his commercial message getting mauled. And now he's, well, I'm out here, I got the sun, I got the, and I got the meat. You know, before long, it's going to be...
Well, I mean, you thought what the copy was.
You know, it sounds to me like you wrote that stuff, Ted, and you're just pretending like you're outraged. This is just another advertising ploy, and a pretty good one, from Ted's of Beverly Hills, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, what do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, he's talking about, hi, I'm Ted Bell, I want to put my meat in... you know, and then he's here talking about, boy, I'll tell you, it's nothing but... surf and sunshine and the sand and meat.
Well, you said my meat.
Yeah. Like that. All right, Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be coming back here in just a couple of minutes with more of this fun and frivolity. It's the last segment of our show here tonight, and then it's on to the weekend. So coming up next is going to be Steve Bozell, Vernon Dozier, football, Bud Dickman. We'll talk about the AFC, NFC championship games coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We will provide commentary of those games on Phil TV in HD Saturday and Sunday. Yes, the Phil Henry Show, our final segment here. And now, Phil Henry.
Well, thanks a lot, everybody. And what happened to you?
Nothing. It's just the culmination of the week. It's the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and online, of course. Not only do we have our video cast, we also have for you all the show, the actual live show itself. So by way of TuneIn, if you want to listen to our program, you can do that. You can do it on our website or by way of TuneIn. But you can hear the show no matter where you are, all over the planet Earth. And that's the beauty of the TuneIn app and the beauty of being able to listen to it either on your smartphone or on our website. If there's not a radio station hearing our show anywhere near you, you still got the show. Vernon Dozier and we've got Steve Bozell on the line. I don't know whether Vernon's going to join us or not.
Well, I talked to Vernon earlier, and he wasn't aware that he was doing any football segment with you.
I called him up myself.
He said that you have this guy, he says, quote, the guy Bozell.
All right, well, let's go to the guy Bozell. Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Boy, that's a heck of a way to start out my report on your show. This guy Dozier saying I'm just, you know.
Well, he was just, I'm sure that Vernon's a football coach, so anybody that doesn't coach and doesn't play, he thinks is not qualified.
Well, he can say whatever he wants, but I got the job, and I'm going to do the very best that I can until such time as they want to take me out and put a bullet in me, you know. I mean, I hate to say, I'm not sure to really do that.
Don't worry about it. It's just Vernon.
I'm not worried about it, man, okay? But I'm just saying, if they want to take me out, put a bullet in me, and leave me to rot in the noonday sun, you go right ahead and do it. I'll be here. I'll do the do and the funky chicken, too, if I got to.
Yeah, Vernon, he thinks he's all that and a bag of the pork rind, you know.
And a bag of pork rind.
All right, so, I'm so sorry, Vernon, that... I thought I'd talk to you, and I thought you were going to be with us. But it's okay. We're really just going to discuss then. What I wanted to do is get some of a broader view of the games, not just from the commentary broadcast standpoint. Oh, by the way, just before we do anything, I looked up the top five songs from the year of Nikki's birth, our fine, our sister and technical director, Nikki McKee, and most of them are good. Two suck. Actually, I got to say, of the top five, Nikki, three of the top five suck all kinds of mammal.
What kind of a comment is that?
It does.
Let me take a look here. Let's see. When the Dove Cry... Oh, God.
Let me see here. When Doves Cry, Prince, I loved... Oh, my God. Look at this. Tina Turner, number two. What's Love Got to Do With It? What's Love Got to Do With It? That's another one that I want to do. In the show, Phil. I want to make a note of that.
All right, write that down. Bud.
And what's Love Got to Do With It?
Yes, write down What's Love. I want to do that. What? And Footloose. Oh, I'm going to be Footloose Doo-Doo. Footloose. Didn't you love that?
No, I hated it. I hated Say, 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 Footloose, and Against All Odds, Phil Collins. First of all, that movie, Against All Odds, was horrifically, horribly, wretchedly bad. Starring whoever the hell it starred. Jeff Bridges, he's great, but the rest of it sucked. And the song sucked. Now, here's number six from that year, Jump by Van Halen. Yeah, okay. Hello by Lionel Richie. Barf. Owner of a Lonely Heart. Yes, that's good. Ghostbusters. I heard it one time. That's all I needed, but they insisted that I hear it 8 billion times, and that was rough. Karma Chameleon by Culture Club. Sure, that's fine. Missing You, John Waite. That's a good song. All Night Long, Lionel Richie. Another song that was destroyed by playing it until I wanted to bleed from the nose. Dancing in the Dark, Bruce Springsteen. It wasn't good when it was new.
Are you kidding me? That's the boss. That's the boss.
You ought to hear yourself, Margaret.
That's the boss. Well, so?
He's a great songwriter and rockin'. Dancing in the Dark ain't my favorite song that he done did, okay?
You sound illiterate, you know that?
I thought Bruce Springsteen was like Bob Dylan, wasn't he?
Bruce Springsteen is still alive, General. He's good, you know, but Jump for My Love, the Pointer Sisters, yeah, okay. Time After Time, Cyndi Lauper, The Reflex, Duran Duran. Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cyndi Lauper, that was a big song. Self Control by Laura Branigan, Let's Go Crazy, Prince. Say It Isn't So, Daryl Hall and John. Hold Me Now, the Thompson Twins. God, music really was lousy back then, wasn't it?
What are you talking about? Those are wonderful songs.
Well, some of them are good, but a lot of them just stink. Joanna's a nice song. That's my sister's name, so I like that song. I Just Called to Say I Hate You, Stevie Wonder.
That's not the name of it. I Called to Say I Love You.
I know. I Just Called to Say I Love You. Somebody's Wanking Me. What's that?
No, Somebody's Watching Me. Are you an idiot or something?
Somebody's Watching Me, Rockwell. Break My Stride, Matthew... not that song, God.
That's when I go, ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Ain't nothing gonna slow me down. No, no.
Would you shut up?
That song sucks.
Yeah, it sure does. 99... Oh, here's the one. This is my favorite. 99 Luftballoons. You know what that is? By the way, is Mr. Bozell there? Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I've been waiting to be on the radio. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm sorry, we talked to you yesterday about the football, and it just seemed like this was more interesting than you. I'm sure you understand.
Oh, man. You know, all I do all day long is take it right in the...
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. We lost the connection. There is 99 Luftballoons is German for 99 red balloons, I think.
Yeah? Oh, you don't like it because it's German?
No. It's not that I don't like it because it's German. Don't be so ridiculous. But it was irritating to listen to that little girl singing it in German and prancing along the top of a wall in her big red sneakers. I don't know. I just wanted to have her beaten.
I think now you're doing it for the what you call the comedy effect.
No, I'm telling you. There's my honest feelings. I Can Dream About You, Dan Hartman. That was the cat with the Edgar Winter Band, right?
I believe it was, yes.
Well, who was the Edgar Winter Band?
You remember Johnny Winter?
No.
Okay. I Can Dream About You. That was the Dan Hartman thing. The Glamorous Life, Sheila E. Oh, Sherry, Steve Perry. Stuck on You, Lionel Richie. Boy, Lionel Richie had a lot of... See, that's what I mean about that year being really bad. It was nothing against Lionel. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I hated his music. Maybe it's because it was the hairdo more than anything else, you know?
Oh, he had that sort of black guy shag.
Yeah, that's right. You got really curly hair, but it's a shag.
Exactly. Black guy shag. Elton John, I guess that's why they call it the blues. Shebop, Cyndi Lauper. Boy, she had some borderline Madonna. Sunglasses at Night, Corey Hart. Eyes Without a Face, Billy Idol. Here Comes the Rain Again, Eurythmics. Uptown, it's all a bunch. Oh, here it is. Sister Christian, Night Ranger.
Nice.
That song sucked so hard.
No, Nikki liked that song. You like that song, Nikki? That was a song that was made famous to a later generation through the film Boogie Nights. And Alfred Molina, who played the drug dealer in Boogie... Man, he just knocked it. Alfred Molina is a great actor, a very underrated actor, and has been in a lot of those Paul Thomas Anderson movies. And he was in Boogie Nights as the drug dealer who was getting off on that riff in Sister Christian. while the Chinese guy was lighting the firecrackers. And
yeah, and you said everyone that you know has been in that situation at one time or another. I don't know who you think people are, Phil, or what kind of sewer you swam in as a young man, but that was a very revealing comment.
I'm very sorry if you didn't appreciate it. All right, that's all the time that we have for this and for you, but I can guarantee you this much. We'll be back, and we will be stronger and harder and more more throbbing. I didn't mean to say throbbing. We'll be back stronger and harder than ever before on Monday. Don't forget our website. No, we'll be back Tuesday. Monday is Martin Luther King's birthday. Don't forget our website with our podcast and also
five,
our live show in San Francisco a week from Sunday.
Two, one.